FRA. The advice and recommendations in this program are for general educational purposes and not a diagnosis. You should consult a physician or health professional directly before beginning or changing any course of health treatment. You're listening to Dr. Barry Dworkin on Sunday House Call.
Does shift work affect a person's physical and mental health? From a practice perspective, I'm seeing more people burning out from work stress. They're depressed, unable to lead normal lives, and plainly quite miserable with the way things are turning out. Human resource department managers and insurance companies among them seem to be skeptical about the effects of shift work on a person's health, on their employees' health, which only makes matters worse, generating a lot of guilt and self-doubt amongst the people that are suffering from this. Dr. Ron Hesselgrave is chair of the Research Ethics Board at the University Health Network in Toronto, researcher for the Canadian Institute of Health Research in the areas of shift work and sleep deprivation, and is author of his most recent book, Working the Shift, A Self-Health Guide. And he joins us this afternoon. Good afternoon.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, and I've actually had a very good night's sleep, thank you.
Terrific. That's the first question we ask.
I want to know, how common are mental health problems like depression as a result of the work environment? Do we have any data to link those two things together?
There's limited data on clinical depression and shift workers, although it's certainly there's a higher than expected rate, but it's very difficult to actually distinguish depressed mood, mm-hmm. loss of interest, the typical kinds of signs and symptoms of depression, with shift work without getting people off shift work to start with.
Mm-hmm.
Because the shift work itself causes fatigue, depressed mood, and the reports we've had from a number of studies on depressed mood is it could be as high as 40 or 50%, and fatigue 50 or 60% in shift workers.
Mm-hmm.
So these are things that go along with this kind of depression is something that goes along with working nights.
With regards to your areas of research, I'd like our listeners to have a basic understanding of what our sleep-wake cycle should be like. What is normal? What does our biology dictate in terms of what we should be getting? And then move on to how that can be interrupted by shift work and by other factors in our environment.
Sure. Well, the basic issue here is what's called circadian rhythms. And these are rhythms, biological rhythms, that occur on about a 24-hour basis. And they get us to wake up in the morning, get us to go to sleep at night, blood pressure, heart rate, gastrointestinal system, et cetera, follow these rhythms. The rhythms are different for different parts of the body. And you can sort of think about, and we've identified over 100 different circadian rhythms.
Mm-hmm.
And you can sort of think about this as an orchestra, where you've got a bunch of different people playing a bunch of different instruments. And if they do that together and well, it sounds, beautiful. If they start playing out of sync with each other, then we develop real problems and the music is a mess. And that's what can happen in shift work, where some of these circadian rhythms get out of sync with each other and the whole system starts to fall apart. The one of those circadian rhythms, of course, is sleep. We are biologically programmed to sleep at night and get up and work during the day. And for night workers, we've completely reversed that rhythm. And many people actually never adapt to that. We do know that night workers don't stay on shift long enough to actually adapt to mm-hmm. night work. We know that it takes at least 2 or 3 weeks for full adaptation, if in fact you will adapt to shift work. And we know about 25% of people simply can't make that shift. They're more hardwired than others.
Are there specific work schedules or shift work schedules that you have seen that can contribute more in terms of its negative effects? For example, the shifts that tend to change from time to time, where you're flipped from day to night to day to night, on a fairly consistent basis, hospital services, service industries, emergency services, police and fire and such, where you have days where you're just doing nights or days that you are working during the day, and then it flips and you get a weekend to adjust and move on to the next shift week. Do those type of changes cause more harm than, say, someone who has worked continuously at a fixed shift for weeks and weeks on end?
Well, let me start by saying that the real problem with shift work is night work, followed really by early morning work as well. So if you're going to work at night, you're going to suffer the full effects of shift work on your body and on your brain. And so the more night work you do, the more difficult it's going to be. The more you don't stay on a regular schedule, the more difficult it's going to be. So if you were to work four or five nights in a row, that would be better than doing a day, a night, and a couple of nights, and then going back to days, mm-hmm. because our rhythms are really in trouble then. And we're also sleeping at times where it's very difficult to sleep. So that's part of the problem. So rotational shifts that are quick are discouraged. But that's not to say that if you work five nights in a row, say, that you'll actually adapt. I think what we have to recognize is that these are biological issues, and that if you're going to work nights, one of the recommendations we make to people is that you simply work nights and not try and do the rest of your life. Because it's going to be difficult. You ought to recognize it's difficult, and getting sleep is of paramount importance.
What are some of the symptoms or signs that you will see in someone who is suffering from the effects of working those night shifts? In terms of initial signs, is there something just at the beginning that people tend to not pay too much attention to, or they try and accommodate those changes? And with it remaining unfocused or not dealt with, what inevitably tends to happen to these people over a specific time?
Well, we do know that one of the earliest signs, of course, is fatigue. Fatigue is going to be part of that night work kind of phenomena. But the more tired you are throughout the rest of the your 24-hour period, that's going to be a combination of both loss of sleep, sleep deprivation, as well as circadian adjustments. So that if you're and what you will see is that people will develop some depressed mood. They'll develop poor performance. They'll be performing less well. They'll be less motivated. They'll be have lost interest in a lot of things in their life, and you really need to get back to a regular sleeping waking pattern in order to recover from that. Some people will inevitably develop depression out of it. There's a lot of reports of increased gastrointestinal problems associated with it. Some recent data suggesting that there could be heart problems, mm-hmm. because the heart also follows a circadian rhythm. It slows down at night and speeds up during the day. And there's been a recent link, actually, to breast cancer development in women through throwing estrogen out of sync with everything that is supposed to be going on. So there's a number of health potential health problems, all of which is related to both circadian rhythm maladjustment, if you will, and sleep deprivation, because we know that people work night shifts tend to only sleep about 5 hours in a 24-hour period. And so they're sleep-deprived on a regular basis because they can't sleep during the day. Mm-hmm.
Any effects, for example, when they're driving to work, to and from work, especially if they're sleep-deprived?
Well, yeah, we're very concerned about people commuting to and from work if they're driving, because they have a real tendency to have performance problems while driving. We know that of night workers, about 40% of them will report falling asleep behind the wheel while commuting, mm-hmm. which can be a relatively short commute for some people, at least once in the last year. And in some areas, that number's been higher. Not all of those falling asleeps translate into accidents. But you certainly have the potential. It seems to me anybody sleeping behind the wheel, it's just an accident waiting to happen and just needs to have a number of factors collide with that, if you will.
So what are these people to do? For example, in the short term, it may not be possible for them to find a new job that provides them a shift during daylight hours, and they're sort of stuck working at night, and if they haven't adapted very well and there is a gradual deterioration, as you've outlined, what words of advice would you give them in terms to try to cope, at least until they're able to find in the medium term a new job, or at least convince the company that they're working for or the organization that they're working for that this indeed is having a very negative effect on their health?
Well, what they need to do is really pay very close attention to their sleep cycles, and make sure that they are... Sleep is one of the things that we give away a lot. You know, lots of other pressures say, well, I'll just get less sleep and I'll have the time to do things. That's not the appropriate thing for shift workers to do, especially those working at night. And really what you have to do is pay attention to your sleeping, develop a sleep conducive environment, shift workers need to minimize all of those distractions that will be a problem for sleeping during the day or during the evening even. And we need to employers need to start recognizing this more. Some of them have, though. There are a number of instances now where there are sleeping rooms at the work site, and people are encouraged potentially to have strategic naps. It's not a very common practice at this point, but the airlines do it all the time. And the railroads are getting into that. Mining companies are starting to do that. And so that if you need that boost from a short nap, it's available to you. So there are strategies like that. But generally what you want to do is younger people are frankly a bit more resilient to this. Older people, this is a much more wearing thing. But some of the changes in shift work over the last 20 years, you know, have not helped this, such as the longer shifts that people are working as well. So that when 12-hour shifts are really common these days, and that gives you more time off, and people work on their time off, and, you know, it just becomes a vicious circle. So people need to recognize it as a real problem. They need to put a priority on their sleep and the kinds of activities they're involved in while they're working nights, and that'll help them get through that.
It's interesting you mentioned longer shift hours and how things have changed over time. Has technology added to that? For example, again, people carrying their BlackBerries around and at 10 o'clock at night, they're getting calls and having to follow up on things when normally that would have been left for the following morning, so they would actually be asleep. Does that contribute as well to some of the problems associated with the shift work?
Well, it's not so much that you it's more of a stress problem, I think, that BlackBerries lead you to be at work all the time, if you will. But the solution is
turn it off.
Pretty simple. Turn it off.
Yeah.
So it does come down to managing your life, if you will, and setting the priorities and having other people recognize those priorities as well. You know, take cues from the people around you as well. When your wife says, and I've heard this on many occasions, that you don't seem to be the person that I married anymore. You're a bit cranky sometimes. You're a bit more irritable. Easy for us to get on your nerves, and you're falling asleep all the time. I mean, those are signs and symptoms that you're simply sleep deprived, and better to deal with that in some of these behavioral ways than let it continue on until you have a real serious medical problem on top of it.
Are there any sources of information that our listeners can access in order to get a good review of what we've just talked about, and also to sort of be able to look it over and think about how it relates to what they're doing if they suspect something is going on with regards to sleep deprivation and their shift work?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of information on the internet and access to publications on the internet that will give you the basics of it. It's not, this is one of those things that really isn't rocket science. I mean, we really do know, what the solutions are what some of the problems are. The idea is, or the problem is really more implementing that. And I think people should be talking to their employers as well and saying this is a priority. Certainly that was the case a few years ago with the air traffic controllers, and they made it a a real issue with their employer, and they have a number of initiatives, training, education, increasing manning on the overnight shifts, etc., in order to handle this fatigue problem. Some of the oil companies have done the same thing because they haven't, you know, they have entrusted their entire operation to a bunch of tired people working at night who can't stay awake to make sure everything's working well, and they recognize that and you know, increased availability of napping and things like that. So being proactive, not all employers are there. But I think we need to get employers on board to show them that these are real issues. We, if you sleep deprive someone, we learned this in the laboratory, if you sleep deprive someone for 24 hours, they're only working at about 75% mm-hmm. efficiency. And the comparable statistic came from Australia, where they looked at the relationship between sleep deprivation and alcohol, and a typical sleep-deprived person for 24 hours is operating in terms of their performance decay, you know, at about a 0.1, 0.15 mm-hmm. alcohol, blood level alcohol content. Do we want people operating in that situation? Do we want them driving trucks, operating machinery? You know, we wouldn't tolerate it if it was alcohol. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure why we're tolerating it when it's normal fatigue and we're failing to manage it properly.
Well, Dr. Hesselgrave, I'd like to thank you very much for taking the time to outline the effects of shift work, especially night shift work, on people and the negative consequences to their health should they continue unabated and not adapt to that as well. And I hope our listeners will take home these messages and actually apply that to their lives and make the preemptive moves to prevent some of the consequences of working those kind of shifts.
You know, the best person to talk to, I've always found in this situation, is an ex-shift worker. And they'll convince you how bad it was when they were working and how good it is that they're not working night shifts anymore.
Once again, Dr. Hesselgrave, thank you very much.
Thanks very much, Barry. It was a pleasure.
Dr. Ron Hesselgrave is Chair in the Research Ethics Board at the University Health Network in Toronto and Researcher for the Canadian Institute of Health Research in the area of shift work and sleep deprivation. I'm Dr. Barry Dworkin. You're listening to Sunday House Call.